Amen. We believe that prayer. Amen. And we want to walk in agreement with that prayer. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Is it warm in here? All right. I just wanted to check. It is warm in here. All right. So y'all don't mind if I take this jacket off, do you? Thank you. That's all right. Thank you. It is a little warm. Thank the Lord. Someone said it feels good. Hey, all right. Can't make everybody happy. Amen. All right. But we're going to be all right. We're all right now. Amen. So, Lord, once again, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We ask, oh God, that you would speak to us, speak through us, and to all those that would have an ear to hear what your Spirit has to say. And, Lord, please help us to be doers of your word, not hearers only. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. St. John chapter number 13. St. John chapter number 13. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to look at verse 34 and 35 to begin with this morning. These are the words of Jesus. And as he's talking and teaching, he spent 3.5 years teaching his disciples. It's very important that we look at the teachings of Jesus and what he imparted to his disciples, because these were the ones that he was leaving the responsibility of spreading this gospel all over. And we thank God for faithful men and women that were able to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are still spreading that good news today, and the kingdom of God is increasing even today. So we're thankful that faithful men and women, again, were faithful to the call and faithful to the gospel. And somebody told us about salvation, and we obeyed this glorious gospel, and we received the benefits of being saved. Amen. So here Jesus in St. John chapter number 13, beginning at verse number 34. I have the Amplified Classic Version. Here's what it says. I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another just as I have loved you. So you too should love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. I have a thought, and it's in the form of a question. Simply stated, what are you practicing? What are you practicing? Or if you allow me to change one word in this thought, it would simply be, what are we practicing? Here, Jesus gives a command, and it's important to know his audience. He is talking to people that he holds close. He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to strangers at this particular moment. So, and in his talking and in his teaching, he's living among them, living with them. He's working. He's doing the will of God before their very eyes. He's being an example before them. He's loving them. He's taking the time to teach them. He's taking the time to develop them, and he's filling them with the message that he brought down from heaven. And he is demonstrating on a daily basis his love for his disciples. And so there's no doubt, I would imagine there's no doubt in the mind of his disciples when Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you. They can all, from their personal experience, relate to the love that Jesus has for them. And in turn, I believe we can all, from a personal experience, relate to the love that Jesus has for us. So we can take heed to this teaching because, again, this is the living Word of God. And I believe that God wants to remind us that just as Jesus loved us, we ought to love one another. And we see the full measure and extent of the love of Jesus. This love allowed him to surrender himself into the hands of his persecutors. The love for us. It allowed him to put his physical body temporarily in the hands of mankind. Remember, as he was being questioned and tried, if you will, he spoke to one of the earthly rulers and said, no man takes my life. He said, I got the power to lay it down, and I got the power to pick it back up again. He said, I received this commandment from my Father. In other words, go ahead and do what you're going to do. But I want you to know that your power over this physical body is limitless. I mean, it has a limit. And it was the love again of Jesus that took him all the way to Calvary to die for our sins. And the Bible lets us know that we have that very same love. And sometimes it's difficult for us to grapple with or understand that we have that same quality and magnitude of that love. Because sometimes we're challenged with loving that much. Loving that much to where we are willing to give up ourselves. That's a challenge. Huh? That's a challenge. But he said, just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. How far does our love for one another go? Does it have a boundary? Does it say, I'll go this far, but I don't know. I just don't know. You mean if it's going to cause me some hurt? Is it going to cause me, if it's going to cause me to lose certain things that I may hold as valuable? I don't know. Well, it depends on who it is. Can I park there for a minute? You know, it depends on who it is. It depends on how they have treated me in the past. It depends on what type of relationship I have with them. When the mere fact should be, it should be that they're my brother or my sister in the Lord. That should be the only qualification. It should be. Because just let me get a Bible verse to focus us in on the type of love that God had for us. I think it's somewhere around Romans. He said, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God commended his love toward us when we were in an unlovable condition. We were the enemies of God. And when we were the enemies of God, he still commended his love toward us. And you mean to tell me, now that I am a friend of God, you mean my bowels of compassion has locks on it? I'm just asking some questions this morning. You all just walk with me as I try to develop this thought in our heads. What are we practicing? He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. I like how this is put here. He didn't say just your brothers and your sisters. He said all men, those that are in the kingdom and those that are not in the kingdom yet, and those that may not never come into the kingdom. But by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The world is watching. The world is watching. If you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. All right. It poses questions in my mind, and it causes me to take an inventory of what I'm practicing. Walk with me to John 15, St. John chapter number 15. And I'll look at verse number 12. Basically, it's going to say the same thing, but anytime the scripture takes the time to say something more than once, I think we ought to pay attention to it and take heed to it. All right? So here we are in St. John chapter 15, verse number 12. This is my commandment. It was a command. He said it was a commandment in chapter 13. And here it is in verse 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So he didn't say, this is my suggestion. He didn't even say, this is my opinion. Jesus said, this is my commandment. So if we're in the kingdom of God, again, the scripture comes to my mind where the Lord asked at one time, how can you say you love me and you keep not my commandments? So again, that question pops up in my mind. What are we practicing? This is my commandment, that you love one another just as, the same as, with the same intensity as I have loved you. Does our love go to the same length as Jesus' love went for us? I got to think about that. Oh, Lord. That intense, that serious, it's a commandment. It's a commandment. There are some professions where people, and I'll just the medical profession for now, where people spend time in their training, and they try to get the best training, and they try to go to well-known schools to further their education in the medical profession. They want to go to some of the top schools, and then when they finish their, I'm talking about specifically doctors, when they finish their training, then they do so many years of residency before they can get the full MD and all the other letters that pertain to their specialties. And sometimes they are connected with and affiliated with hospitals, and they like to be affiliated and connected with hospitals that have a good reputation for their health care. And then oftentimes if they are in the, I would say, this is just me, in the upper echelon of their profession, then they have an opportunity to open up a private practice. And because of their skill and because of their acumen in their profession, they get known. And people say, well, I have a good doctor, I'm gonna refer you to, you know, well, how long they've been practicing? And then now in the age of social media, you can probably look at comments and reviews, someone say, well, he or she has a thriving practice. They take good care of their patients. So do we have a thriving practice and being what God has called us to be? That's the thought that came to my mind. What are we practicing? What reviews are we getting? Yeah, well, you know, Brother So-and-so, he's kind of rough around the edges. You know, he's going to say the first thing that pops in his head. What are we practicing? Yeah, great question. It's something that I think we need to mull over. And see, the Bible has already told us that we are living epistles, and we're known and read of all men. So what we may say in environments and settings like this may not necessarily line up to our actions when we're not in settings like this. Someone said the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. We can stand behind podiums and lecterns and expound and exhort principles in God's word. But when we leave the perceived spotlight and platform, what are we practicing? When we're in our environments, wherever they may be, especially in our homes, let's just keep that real, in our homes, dealing with our, interesting word here, loved ones. God is helping me. When we're dealing with our loved ones, what are we practicing? Are we practicing compassion? Are we practicing long-suffering? Are we practicing gentleness, kindness, meekness, grace, mercy? These are all the things that God has extended and continues to extend to us. Lord, help us today to consider what are we practicing. Because, again, all eyes are on us. Huh? The world is looking for an example. The world is in such a turmoil, that it is a great opportunity for the Church of the Living God to demonstrate the love of God. It is no better time than the present. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. The Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sin. Has anybody in here had, or out there,
had their sins covered by the love of God. Have anybody out there, in here or out there, have you ever had your sins covered by the love of God? How does that feel? To have your sins covered by the love of God. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? Isn't that a feeling of relief? Isn't that a feeling of confidence? I can approach God because I'm not his enemy. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, I have access to God. I don't have to go through his security team. I can go straight to the throne of God because his love was demonstrated on the cross of Calvary, and his love covered a multitude of my sins. We have to make that personal. But then I find scripture that tells us that this very same love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, here's a question again. How much is the love of God that covers us, that he shed in our hearts by those of us who have received the Holy Ghost, how much sin is that love covering through us? Or do we get angry when the person commits that same sin? Does our anger boil over? Every time I turn around, here you go again. I'm getting tired of this. If the Lord would mark iniquity, who could stand? So what are we practicing? Can I ask another question that you might be more ready to hear? What should we be practicing? The love of God. Someone said quietly. All right. I got to deal with something else here. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Beginning at verse number 4, Amplified Classic, here it is. Everyone who commits, practices sin is guilty of lawlessness. For that is what sin is, lawlessness. The breaking, violating of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. Okay, let's look at that for a minute, because it's a word that came back in here, command. So Jesus gave us a commandment, love one another, right? And then he said in 1 John, everyone who commits, practices sin is guilty of lawlessness. For that is what sin is, lawlessness. The breaking, violating of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. His will is his word. For those of us that have been reading the Bible through in a year, last week we finished reading Psalm 119, and Psalm 119 has 176 verses, and practically 173 of them all deal with the Word of God. But here, I think this is saying, you all help me, we got some thinkers in here, that if we are unrestrained and unregulated by God's commands and will, then we're sinners, we're sinning. Is that your understanding as well? Or you haven't come to that yet? Let me put my glasses on. I want to see your face. So that means, no, let me ask. So does that mean if we don't love one another as we have been commanded to love one another, then are we guilty of sin? Huh? I see some nods, but the volume, somebody didn't turn the volume down. So what are we practicing? Right? What are we practicing? That's the question. You know that he appeared in visible form, became man to take upon himself sins, and in him there is no sin, essentially and forever. Talking about Jesus, right? No one, watch now, verse 6, no one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion, we're going to get to communion in a little while, in communion with and in obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. You see that? What are we practicing? No one who habitually sins has either seen or known him, recognized, perceived, or understood him, or has had an experiential acquaintance with him. If we continue, this is what I'm getting here. If we continually and deliberately and knowingly and habitually commit and practice sin, we don't know Jesus. Is that what that is saying? What are we practicing? Verse 7, boys, lads, let no one deceive and lead you astray. He who practices righteousness, who is upright, conforming to the divine will and purpose, and the divine will, again, is the word of God. So those he who is upright, conforming to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, living a consistently conscientious life, is righteous, even as he is righteous, even as Jesus is righteous. So this is what we should be practicing here in this verse. It points it out to us. We should be practicing righteousness. And what is that? Thank you, Amplified Classic, for unpacking it here. He who is upright, our thoughts should be upright. Our deeds should be upright. Our heart should be upright. Conforming to the divine will, conforming to the word of God. So everything about us who are practicing righteousness should conform to the word of God. If God's word is against it, we should not be found in that area. If God's word is for it, that's where they should find us. He who is upright, conforming to the divine will in purpose. We got to do this on purpose. We have to love one another on purpose. And our thoughts, we got to think lovely things about our brothers and sisters, even the one who crossed us. Even the one, oh, Lord, help me. We can't get away from this word. We got to deal with this, where was my thought leaving me? In thought, even the ones whose face, when it comes across the mirror or the canvas of our mind, it raises the hair. Oh, Lord, help us. Y'all pray for your pastor, please. We got to conform. Our thinking has to be like God. Our thinking. We have to conform to the word of God in our thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then if our thinking, if we're thinking love on purpose, if we love the Lord, right, because he heard our cry, all right, pitied every groan, all right, but then God's saying, now you need to love one another just like I love you. Our thoughts and our actions, oh, Lord, help me. our actions. We need to be doing acts of love all the time. And it doesn't take a whole lot to do an act of love. Sometimes it just takes speaking. Acknowledging your brother or sister's presence. Oh, Lord, help me. Will y'all invite me back next week? He says, living a consistently, so this can't be an on and off thing. Huh? It has to be consistent. I got to do this on purpose until I leave here. All right. Here's a now and later moment. I'm not going to hide this. I'm going to divide this. We got to do this. Consistently and conscientiously. So that means if nobody forcing me to do it, I'm doing it because I love God. And because I love God and I appreciate the love that he had for me and he has for me, then it's easier for me to yield to the Spirit of God that he has so graciously given me and love like God. What would our environments look like if all of us were committed to love like God? Can you just imagine for a moment the power and the influence of a small community? It don't have to be all the seats filled. But if all of us made up in our minds to love recklessly like God loves, do you know the impact? We can literally turn this city upside down, or any city. If we loved people with the love of God, or better yet, if we allow God to love people through us, that would be a sight to behold. But you know what? It's well within our power. It's well within our reach. We have the capacity to do it. So the question arises again, what are we practicing? You know, when I was playing basketball and coaching basketball, practice sometimes was a bad word because sometimes the coaches made practice difficult. But the good coaches, and I adopted this when I was coaching, I want to make practice harder than any game you'll face. So if I push you hard in practice, when you get out there on that court and you're playing against an opponent, that little lightweight stuff that they're doing, that won't even faze you because you practice hard. You practice hard. That's what I told some of the players that I was coaching. That's why we had to run those suicides. That's why we had to run those drills and drills and drills and drills and drills and laps. Because I didn't want you to get winded when you playing in the game. And I even, if you notice some basketball players, if you ever watch them like this, I told my teams, you don't even do that. Don't do that. Because what you're doing is you're telling your opponent who's guarding you, I'm out of breath. So what I did to the players that played for me, I said, this is what you do when you need a spell. That's what you do. And that's my signal to let me know I need to put somebody in because you're out of breath. But if you're like this, you're going to be benched because you're letting the opponent know, I'm tired. You can score anytime you want to. Okay. So we can't let the enemy know. We got to keep practicing. We got to wait on the Lord, and he will renew our strength. We got to do this on purpose, right? We don't back down to the enemy. I hear the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But we got to practice righteousness. who is upright, our heart has to be right. Our thoughts have to be right. Our actions have to be right. So I'm gonna clip this. I got some more, but I think we got the point. We need to ask ourselves, what are we practicing? What am I practicing? Is my life lining up with the Word of God? Can people really see Jesus in me? Or do they just see a person who seems to be sometimes religious? Or can they really see Jesus in me? Can they see the compassion of Jesus in me? Or can they see one of the times when the disciples told them, don't bring them kids near Jesus? Can they see the impatience that the disciples displayed when they were bringing little children to Jesus and the disciples said, no. And Jesus said, wait a minute. Suffer the little children to come unto me. So do we have patience for castaways? Do we have patience and compassion for those that are on, if you will, the outskirts of society? Do we have patience and compassion and genuine love of God for the person sitting on that bus stop talking out of their head? For the person living under the freeway? For the person pushing the shopping cart? For the person sitting outside of 7-Eleven or AMPM with that plastic cup? Why don't you get a job? Don't you think if they could get a job, they would get a job? Do you know how hard it is to pander? Okay. Do you know how hard and humiliating it is to beg for some spare change? Do you know how embarrassing that is? I do, because I did it. People walking over you. I was laying down at the subway station in New York, embarrassed. People walking over me. And then I heard some voices of people that I thought I knew. I got myself up and got out of there because I was so embarrassed. What are we practicing? By this shall all men know. Everybody's going to know that we are his disciples. Jesus took the time to speak to the woman at the well. Outcast, who had a bad reputation, earned it. But he still talked to her. He broke the social norms and talked to her. How far are we willing to go to share and show the love of God? What are we practicing? And then, if you allow me a follow-up question, what should we be practicing? So put that in a to-go container and let's take that. It's enough for everybody to take. Take your portion, all right? Take what you can handle, and you can handle it, and take it with you. And let that be our motivating factor when we leave, while we're yet here and even when we leave. Because sometimes the real test comes among us. Okay. All right. Anybody need prayer? Stand where you are. I'm going to pray for all of us. Did you notice I said us? Because I'm included in that. I have a desire that I can love people the way God wants me to love people. I have a desire that it's not even a thought, that I can just operate in the love of God amongst my brothers and my sisters and amongst everybody that I meet. That's one of my true heart desires, and I think that should be our combined desire to allow God to love others through us. Are we not his ambassadors? Are we not a holy nation? Are we not a royal priesthood? So then let's do. Okay. Lord, as we pray, we thank you for your love. Those words right there seem so inadequate to express the magnitude of the love that you have for us. Our language is inept to just show you the appreciation we have for your love, a love that we did not earn, but yet and still you loved us. A love that we could never pay you back for, but yet and still you paid for our sin. So God, again, thank you. Help us, every one of us, help us to allow you to love others through us. Bypass our prejudices. Oh God, help us. Bypass our stereotypes. Bypass our likes and dislikes. Bypass the thoughts that, I don't know, just something about so-and-so. I can't put my finger on it. Take our fingers away from it. And help us to love with genuineness, with the love of God. Forgive us of our skewed perspectives about some of our own brothers and sisters, not even those on the outside of the kingdom that's yet to come in, but forgive us, God, of how we've treated some of our brothers and sisters in the past. Help us, because you said by this, not how much we sing, not how much we give, not how much we dance, not how much whatever, but by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So God, help us. We need your help. We need your help. And we are committing ourselves as we stand to yield to your spirit and allow you to love others through us. Now, we don't know what that's going to look like. We know that we might be setting ourselves up for some pain and some heartbreak. But that's what you did. You allowed yourself to go through that for us. And you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So, God, help us to realize what we're practicing. And we want to, each of us, have a good practice of love from this time forward. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.